So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. And it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
That song, he says, when standing in the valley of decision, the valley of decision. There may be someone here this morning who the devil's been speaking to you in your valley and telling you that there'll never be a brighter day again in your life, telling you the trial you're going through, your time of temptation will never pass. But I want to say this morning, you came into this place and there's another voice speaking to you in your valley. And that is King Jesus. And He is saying there will be an end to your valley. There will be a time where He will lift you up. In fact, Peter says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He will exalt thee. And I praise the Lord this morning that no matter if we're on the mountaintop, praise the Lord. But if we're in the valley low, praise the Lord. Because He has a plan and He has a purpose. And so we just praise the Lord this morning. Welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. And it's so good to see each and every person here this morning. And I do know that we have a couple visiting with us. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, you are our special guest here at Calvary. And do we have any first-time visitors? Would you raise your hand first time? Okay, we got one over here, another one over here. And Brother Randy, you've been here before. You've been here for a number of years, brother. So, Brother Don, if we would be careful to hand out a visitor's card to them, keep a record of your visit, that would be great. So thank you for coming this way this morning. We are prepared to worship the Lord. I want to say thank you to those watching on Facebook. I fail to mention that most Sundays and Wednesdays, but thank you for tuning in. So good to have you as well. We're going to jump right into things this morning with some prayer requests and some announcements. Miss Connie Teague, she did well with her surgery, and was Valentine's Day Monday? I thought so. All my weeks and days just meshed together. Yeah, I did remember on Monday. I remember Valentine's Day was on Monday, and I made good around 4 p.m. and so had a lot to, everybody was scattered on Monday, and so I made good about 4 p.m., so praise the Lord for that. But Miss Connie Teague, she did have surgery. We had prayer for her last Sunday night. She did well. She's home recovering, so we praise the Lord for that. Down on the fourth row, Brother Michael Bendy, him and his wife Shauna visited last Sunday morning, Sunday night, and this past Wednesday. They're here this morning, and Brother Michael will have an upper GI this Friday. Is that right, Brother? So they're trying to figure out what's going on with him, and doctor told him, well, a week or two ago, I guess, that he had over 20-something kidney stones, and so we're praying for Brother Michael that the Lord would direct in that matter. And good to have our new choir member, Miss Shauna, this morning. And so we appreciate them. They've expressed that the Lord has directed them here to Calvary. We're just giving it a couple weeks just to be sure, and don't want to rush anything. Want to take root naturally. And so we went ahead and moved forward with the singing in the choir, and definitely don't want to hold any back from singing to the Lord. And so we appreciate them and being with us. Brother Harold Doff called just a moment ago. He got ready for church, got in the car, and then he was out of breath. And so he wants to be here. I told him I would mention him this morning. Let's pray for Brother Harold. Love you, Brother Harold. Praying for you. Stay put this morning. That's the best thing to do when you're not doing well. And Miss Mary Kelly's with us this morning. She's singing in the choir. Her daughter Sandra had gallbladder surgery this week, and I believe it was this week. And but she's also going to have a what kind of surgery was that? Hernia surgery later on. So let's remember her in our prayers. Miss Claudia Darby not doing well. Under the weather, praying for you, Miss Claudia. Miss you this morning. And then Brother Ed Sandvi, he fell this week. And Miss Cassie, you know, I don't know if you know. That probably happened after. It did. It happened after. Yeah. After your services this week, yeah. And so I believe it was Friday night into Saturday. They were at the ER. But Brother Ed is home now. When he fell, he actually fell over on the dog bed in the floor. And so that kind of broke the fall a little bit from hitting just hard, flat surfaces of the floor. And so we praise the Lord that he's doing better. But they're home recovering. Lord willing, Miss Marianne will be here this evening. And so please pick up a bulletin up front or in the back. Foyer, and that way you can get a full list of all the prayer requests and upcoming events. CLU today at 3 o'clock. We will ask if the ladies who are attending CLU would come in, drive around to the bottom lot here, and go in into the fellowship hall area. That's where CLU is going to be today, in that general area. I think they're going to be writing cards to all the preachers that's coming to Jubilee. So remember that, and then the deacons, we will be in Brother Ceylon's room up front at 3 o'clock. And so remember that, men, our deacons meeting at 3 o'clock, same time as CLU. Choir practice at 4, service at 5, and I will not leave this out as well, that our young people are going skiing this coming week. And leaving out on early Tuesday morning, I believe. 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, and heading to the slopes. And so one of these times I'm going to go. I told Brother Brian I was going to go last time, and then the COVID hit. And so this is really my time to go. I'm laying out again, but when I do go, I may just bring a garbage can lid. Just in case the skis don't work out, I can sit and slide at the same time. And so I hope they have a very good backdrop to protect those sliding. Oh, man. I'm not going to ask if you've seen Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation as he went sliding on the garbage can lid and flew right into Walmart. But anyway, they're going to have a great time. We're going to have special prayer for that trip tonight in the evening service. All right, are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. We need you, Lord. We need you. Lord, apart from you, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we're reliant upon you today. I pray that you'd be with all these requests. And, Father, be with the activities of the church. Lord, we failed to mention, but it's really the elephant in the room, and that is Jubilee is here. Couple weeks away. So Father, I pray that you bless that, bless the ski trip. We'll pray more in detail a bit later. But Father, meet with us today. Help us, Lord, in the next few moments to just dismiss everything from our minds. No doubt there are things in everyone's life that they are contending with, whether it's a mountain of responsibilities or unforeseen struggles that have came their way. Lord, help us just for a few moments. Dismiss it if we can, so that we can hear crystal clear from heaven, Lord, that we may have a little bit of light for our pathway, a little strength, Lord, in our heart to continue on. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for Mount Calvary, where Jesus died and gave his life for all. And thank you for Calvary Baptist Church and our loving church family. Help us always reach out to the community, Lord. Be ready to give an answer to every man. For the hope that's within us. Meet with us today, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, church, take a hymnal, stand with me. Turn over to page number 120. Choir, stand with me as well. Let's all join in on singing together, Victory in Jesus, page number 120. All right, everybody sing together now.
I heard an old, old story, how his Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory,
to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. For those that are visiting, we are very thankful that you're with us here today at Calvary. Just pray that you'll just have a great day in the house of the Lord, made to feel at home here today, I hope. And we're thankful that you're here with us today. Please don't forget, there's already bookmarkers down front. We want to go ahead and grab one of those. I have one probably for many, many years, but I love to go back and look at them from time to time. We've always had this same theme, and that is sound the trumpet. It's Jubilee. And I look back over the years that we have heard that trumpet sound, and we're longing to hear the trumpet sound. Amen? Yes. We're talking about it this morning a little bit in our Bible study. Brother CJ brought a tremendous message this morning. What if you only had 1 week to live, and you knew that for sure? What would that change in your life? Would we be so concerned about the things of the world? I doubt it. If you only had 1 week, you know, we're not guaranteed a week. We might not even make it through the day. And we would hear the trumpet of God sound, the dead in Christ rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious time that's going to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it is great to have you in the house of the Lord. Make Jubilee a matter of prayer. There's also a couple of sign-up sheets down here. Make sure you get to those. We want to make sure that we have everything. Each night of the Jubilee, as you know, starting on Monday night through Thursday, we have dinner here. It's provided as a convenience and as a great time of fellowship. But we want to make sure that we have everything that we'll need for that week. So, again, there's a couple of sign-up sheets down front. Make sure you see those before you leave today. Again, choir practice today at 4 o'clock. We're very thankful for a brand-new choir member. And if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, it'd be a great time right here before Jubilee starts. Or maybe you just want to come back to the choir. Be glad to have you back. And we would just make that a matter of prayer. We look forward to a great time, COU, deacons meeting. And then immediately following that, we'll have choir practice and then service today at 5. So please come back and be with us. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us today. Brother Ceylon, would you lead us this morning as we pray?
Anchor team.
that has many, many promises for the children of God. And the challenge is leaning on those promises, believing in those promises, leaning and believing in those promises even when things look contrary to those promises. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank you, choir, Brother Allen. And thank you, Miss Lauren, for that. And I threw a request on her at the last minute this morning. And so she did great as usual. The book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 84. Psalm chapter number 84. I want to look at some things out of this chapter. There are 12 verses in this chapter, and we're not going to look at every verse, but we will look at some things this morning that I feel is for the morning service, the message for this morning. And I want to bow for a word of prayer in just a moment, and then we'll read. Let me mention this. I have this in red letters on my, I jotted down this morning so I would not forget. At the conclusion of the service this morning, we will have an usher or two at our doorways so that we can receive our love offering for the Jubilee singing groups. And I know I mentioned that last Sunday, but I think I only mentioned it once. And so we'll have that ready. Of course, you can give it any time up until Jubilee. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us in the next few moments. Is my prayer, Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that you'll gird up my mind, the loins of my mind. Lord, give me a clear mind, oh Father, and a full heart this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would communicate the truth of your word to the hearts of your people. Let us be changed. Let us be different. Let us be encouraged by the time we leave. Again, just for the next 30 minutes, Lord, let us think only upon you and what you may have for us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Psalm chapter number 84, verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. I'm going to stop there in verse number 4 this morning. And as we look at Psalm 84 this morning, let me just say, first of all, that this psalm was written, some say, by the sons of Korah. Then others say that this psalm was written by David, like much of the psalms were. I kind of tend to think David. Verse number 9 says, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." As you know, David was anointed at least 3 times as Israel's king, or in his lifespan, and eventually he was king. He was God's anointed. But at any rate, this morning, it is a psalm that was to the chief musician, to the choir director, and it was to be played upon the gittith, or the harp. And under Psalm 84, in most Bibles, it gives a description. It says, to the chief musician upon gittith, which is a harp. And then it says, a psalm for the sons of Korah. So if it says for the sons of Korah, I don't think it could be the sons of Korah who wrote the psalm. This morning, we do know, again, that this psalm was to be played upon the harp as they would go to the hour of worship. This is also known as a pilgrim psalm. A pilgrim psalm. And they had pilgrimages. Several times they would take a pilgrimage. And really, it was a pilgrimage to go to the temple, the house of God. So this is known as the pilgrim psalm, or a pilgrim psalm. And it'd be played to a harp. And something else interesting this morning about this psalm is that in various places there are various references of God's house. Verse number 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2, the writer talks about the courts of the Lord. Verse 3, that latter part, the writer mentions, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Verse number 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Various references to God's house. And I know you're following me. I can see you looking at me. But just stay with me this morning as we try to lay the foundation for the message. As we take a step back and view these verses and the context of these verses all through this psalm, we can confidently say that the psalmist thought a great deal about God's house. There was a passion for God's house in these verses. There was an urgency for God's house in these verses. There was security within God's house in these verses. There was joy and praise within God's house mentioned in these verses. And the possibility of joy and praise of God's house, being in God's house in these verses. This morning I want to ask us all a question, those watching on Facebook as well. When Saturday rolled around, did you have an inside burn, a passion, thinking about the services of today? Was there a passion? Was there a burn? Was there the thought in your mind, I wonder what God will do in our services today? Or was it this, I got to get ready for church tomorrow, lay out my clothes and think about where to eat afterwards? You know, there's a new Mexican restaurant in Hiram called San Lucas, and it's open. And so maybe we could go there to eat. I just really want to try out a new place to eat. I got to church this morning. I'm all dressed up. So which one is it this morning? Is it the strong desire to be in God's house? Or was it just prepare for church and go out to eat? Honestly, this morning, any one of us can fall into that second trap. Any of us this morning could fall into the trap of making sure that our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted and that we're dressed and ready for church and we occupy our role in the church and then go off and eat at that new Mexican restaurant. That could be any of us this morning if we're not careful. This morning I want to share some things of the psalmist here and his feelings towards God's house. Toward his house. So this morning I want to preach for just a few moments on this subject. The psalmist's passion for God's house. The psalmist's passion for God's house. The intention this morning of the message is to fan our flame for God's house. As we get closer to Jubilee, really any given Sunday, to fan our flame to be in church and to continue in church. But we're getting closer to Jubilee where we're going to have a revival. And it's my desire this morning for us to just read some of these verses and try to make an application here or there when it comes to this psalmist and the passion and fire that he had for God's house. And again, my intention is for it to fan our own personal devotion. And so this morning, four things about his passion. Number one, in verse one, when it comes to this psalmist and his passion for God's house, we see his tender affection for God's house. Look in verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. He mentions God's tabernacles here. And notice the word tabernacles is in the plural form. And so we know that there were various tabernacles erected in the Old Testament. We know that Moses led the children of Israel, and we know the tabernacle was pitched, and we know that there are certain furnitures of the tabernacle and all of that. But we know that there were several tabernacles. Some believe the word tabernacles here is mentioned for poetical emphasis. But at any rate, David says, how amiable, we believe it's David says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That word amiable this morning, it means lovely. It means a quality of mind or disposition. It also can mean gentle. It means, it could mean affectionate or kind is what it could mean. And so we see that the writer is literally trying to express his tender affection for God's house or God's tabernacles. I guess we could say that the whole idea here is that he's saying that God's tabernacles were dear to his heart, like a wife or a child. There's some endearment here for the tabernacles of God. Near and dear to the heart, this psalmist was trying to express how he felt. And so with a strong and tender love, he says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. It was the strong and tender love that he had for God's house. And that's how he opens up this psalm. Keep in mind, there's a harp being played and there's a pilgrimage to the temple and many obstacles they must go through in order to get to God's house. And the more that he thought about it, the more excited that he grew. Now, let me ask a question this morning. Was he talking about the external or the exterior of God's tabernacles that made him so excited? Or was he talking about the interior that he had such affection for? Was it the actual tabernacles in the Old Testament that made him excited about going to God's house? Was it the cloth and was it the furniture? Was it all of those things? Or was it what was going on the inside of those tabernacles? I think it was not the exterior as to what this writer was in love with as it was to the interior of what the writer was in love with. He wasn't necessarily in love with all the furniture and the basin there, the laver and the altar of incense and the table of showbread and all of that kind of furniture. That was great. But I believe the writer is saying how amiable, how lovely, how beautiful, how endearing is the house of God. Not for the structure, but for what's going on the inside. I believe the writer is saying that the service of the Levites inside the tabernacles and the priestly roles of giving the sacrifices upon the altar is a beautiful thing. To see the Shekinah glory of God hover over the mercy seat, letting the priest know that the sacrifice was accepted, and to hear the bells underneath the robe of the priest and all of that go off. Let everybody know that the sacrifice was accepted. I believe the writer here was in love with all of those things that made up the house of God in the service of our Lord. I believe he was in love with the songs of Zion that they sung, especially as they went up to the temple when the temple was built. And again, the priests and their work, the Levites and all that pertained therein, the sweet music that was being sung, the harps that was being played, the lives that were being changed, the sacrifices, again, that were on the altar in the Old Testament. It was all of those things that resonated within the writer's mind and heart. And so he opens this chapter and he says, how amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Can I say this morning, it's not the building that makes the church. Listen, there's beautiful buildings in our world, our community, that make up a pretty looking church. I mean, there's Catholic churches that are made of stone and that have millions of dollars invested inside the walls of different materials and all of the stuff that you see within a Catholic church. Even in local Baptist churches, there's some big, nice Baptist churches in our area, and we pass them every Sunday. And sometimes I look, I say, whoa, man, that's a nice church. I would love one day if Calvary could meet in a church like that. And you pass the same churches as I pass. We look and we're fascinated. And a lot of people this morning choose their church based upon what it looks like on the exterior. But God help us this morning to focus our attention not on the exterior of our local churches, but on the interior of our local churches. There ought to be some activity at our altars that we focus on that make us excited about going to the house of God. When the preacher gets up and preaches God's word, and you know that he spent time with God, and you're starting to hear what God is telling you, that ought to be something that we include in our decision making when we're looking for a church. The great times of fellowship, the songs of Zion that we sing. And this morning, when it comes to being passionate for the house of God, this ought to carry weight when it comes to us looking for a church. And so the writer here, he says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the contents on the inside. Let me just say this morning that I've been in some churches that have been cold and dark. Our first church, God led us there and we did our very best, and God used us for a while there. We were able to reestablish some things and rebuild some things. But I want to tell you, the first day we walked in that church, no choir director, no musicians, about 15 people sitting out there, and that was it. That was it. And again, that was God breaking ground with us and getting us prepared for ministry, and he blessed that place while we were there. All glory to him. But this morning, there are some cold churches where there is no songs being sung to Jesus from people's hearts. There is no real preaching from the Word of God within context and precept upon precept. And there's no altar activity in many, many churches. But I want to say this morning that I love our church. Because the moment that you walk in, listen, we may not be 100, 200 people on Sundays, But the moment that you walk in, Brother Allen said it this morning. He said, I sense the presence of Almighty God already. I praise the Lord for Calvary Baptist Church, who has a great foundation down through the years. Brother Ben and Brother Snyder and a couple others I heard about here and there that may have had a short stay here pastoring. But to all of their heart and their labor was poured into this church and all of the members. And I'm a thankful man this morning that we don't have to go to a dead church. We don't have to attend a church where you have to round up people that may want to sing. They're ready to sing this morning. They're ready to praise the Lord this morning. I'm ready to preach this morning. We have teachers who are ready to teach this morning. We have altar activity. This morning I can say along with the psalmist, how amiable, Lord, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How beautiful is his house this morning, not because of the lights and curtains, but because of the action. Because of the action. And so we have a psalmist who's passionate about God's house, and he expresses his tender affection in verse number one. There's a second thing I want you to notice. Not only his tender affection for God's house in verse number one, but in verse number two we see his terrible pining for God's house. Look in verse number two. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The psalmist, he kind of changes gears. He talks about how much he loves God's tabernacles and the activity therein. But then he starts to pine away. Notice what he says, my soul longeth. That word longeth means to become pale, or it means to pine away. It means to become thin and weak because of sadness or loss. It means to wither. You remember the story of the man with the withered hand, and one of his hands was whole, but his other hand was drawn in like this. It was withered. It was depleted of moisture. There was nothing within it. It was drawn in, and it was just stayed right where it was at, the man with the withered hand. If I can relate that imagery here to this psalmist, he in like manner is saying that. He's saying that my soul is withering away. I need an experience with God. I need to meet with his people. I need to hear his word. I want to hear the songs of Zion. He's saying, my soul longeth. I'm becoming pale spiritually. I wonder if there's anybody becoming pale spiritually this morning. I wonder if there's anybody on Facebook that's watching and you are like that man with a withered hand. You are drawn up, withered, and barely making it. Maybe there's someone here this morning in that same fashion. Maybe you feel like you're in the thick of the battle. You feel, David said one time, I become like a bottle in the smoke. I can't see, it's so dark around me. I'm feeling my way through life like a blind man. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. And we know what that imagery is. There were wine skins that were hung above fires, and they were dried out, and the smoke would encompass around them, and would be in the midst of the smoke, those wineskins being dried out. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you are just dried out of dead religion. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just dried out, you're withered, you're barely making it, you feel like you're in the thick of it, you're lost in the smoke. You're beginning to wane in your life spiritually. You're becoming pale, almost like a dead person. The writer here is expressing his terrible pining. He wants more of God, not less. He wants to go to God's house and plug in and reap the benefits thereof. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. for the courts of our Lord. The psalmist is saying, without God's house in my life and without a relationship with Christ, I'm a sinking ship. He's saying, I'm almost a dead man. I need an encounter with God. I've got to get to God's house. Is that how we feel this morning about God's house? Is that how we felt last night, knowing Sunday was coming? And again, it's easy to fall into the trap. Well, I'll make sure I have what I need to wear and make sure I know where we're going to eat. It's easy to fall into that trap, but really, if that was our mindset, then we need to look inside the mirror, the pages of God's Word, because that is not the will of God concerning you, your walk, or this church. And I'm starting with myself. Oh, there's times where I fall into that trap, and I try not to, because I begin to look at results, and I begin to look as time goes by, what's going on? Is the Lord blessing here at Calvary? In addition to that, I think about what's going on in my own personal life, in the trials and the things that we go through as a family. And sometimes I'm tempted to just fall into that trap of going through the motions. And God knows my heart. My flesh may feel that way, but my spirit does not. My flesh may say, I'm ready to go to church and get home, but my spirit does not say that. And I want to say thank God for the Spirit of God that fans that little flame on the inside of us. Thank God He doesn't let that flame go out. Because the psalmist here is saying that I'm beginning to be white and pale in the face. I have no spiritual energy. It feels like I'm sinking, not to rise. For the very last time, I'm in the middle of the smoke. I'm dried up, withered, and barely making it. God, I need you. God, I long for you. My prayer is that we would fall in love with Jesus all over again during Jubilee. We're not having this meeting just because traditionally and historically Calvary's always had it. I think it was Brother Allen that mentioned the ribbons this morning. Beautiful ribbons. Thank you, Miss Catherine. And secretary team that helped with that, Miss Lee Ellen. I know she put in a lot of work getting us ready for Jubilee. But we're not having Jubilee just to have another ribbon. We don't want to just put it in our Bible and say, yeah, I remember that. That was the first Jubilee after the pandemic. It was a good Jubilee. Next time, maybe my group will be there to sing that I wanted to sing. Listen, it's not about that. But I'll tell you what it's about. Number one, it's about falling in love with the God of the house first. And then it's about going to the house of God to meet with the God of the house who is able to allow us to have a drink in the middle of a drought this morning. God can do, doesn't matter about the size of the church, doesn't matter about the fancies of the church, doesn't matter if the church was just built, has elaborate things on the outside and inside. Praise the Lord if other people have that. But we don't have to have it. And who's to say we won't have some of those things in the future? This morning is about Jesus. It's about getting to that place where we're thirsting and hungering after Him. It's about tearing down tradition and allowing the Lord not to be boxed in and have a great Jubilee and use the preachers we feel led to be using and use the singers that we feel led to be used, but not just meet and go home. Look inside our own lives and selves and hit that altar on the very first Sunday morning of Jubilee. Brother Snyder gets up here on that Sunday morning. God is using him to ring your bell. Come down to this altar. And whatever it is you need to do, you do it. You may need to rededicate your life. You do it. you may need. There may be someone here who's not saved. There may be people that's attending, and I hope so. I'm praying so that they'll be here that are lost. And they need to be saved. This is their altar too. Today might be the day where God is ringing your bell. And I want you to know, don't fear what anybody may say or if anybody's looking at you during altar call time, because religion and routine and mediocrity will say, stay in that pew. Let me just say this. Biblically, I know you can pray in your pew. You can pray at home. You can pray anywhere you want to. But I love the verse in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me, let me in. He goes on and says, we're going to have us a supper time, a time of communing. And what better time to do that than when the gospel is being preached? Let me move on a little bit here. Notice something else in verse number 2. He says, my soul. Literally in this verse, verse 2, we have the triune being. We have body, soul, and spirit. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Body, soul, and spirit. But he says, my soul longeth. And when he talks about the soul of man is the seat of our emotions. It's our personality. Now, our spirit is that which was severed in the garden due to the original sin that has been renewed by Jesus when we ask him to save us. But our soul is who we are. One day, our souls will either go to heaven or go to hell, based upon if there's been a restoration between your life and God Almighty through the man, Jesus Christ. But he says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of our Lord. He's saying, I'm not me when I don't go to church. He says, if I don't go to church, I don't get refreshed, and I'm not me. Because my soul is involved. He's saying my attitude is different when I stay out of church. And it's different toward my family. It's different toward my friends. When I stay out of church and I stay away from God, my soul grows pale. He says my faith wanes. My obedience falters. And anybody that's around me suffers as well. The person who is not in church anymore is a person who is operating off of faith that has faltered, because it is expedient for all of us to be in church. I mean, listen, we got to plug in. And I hope in a person's home, those that are not coming to church, those that are on Facebook, I hope and pray that they are really praying. I hope and pray that they're really reading and meditating in their Bible and really getting plugged in. That's my prayer. Because if that's not happening, there's going to be an attitude change in an individual. Because when somebody's plugged into Jesus, they're going to church regularly, they will exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. When a person is plugged into Christ, there will be love that flows from their heart. When a person plugs into Christ, there will be peace in their souls, although their world is upside down. When a person is really plugged into Jesus, there will be long-suffering, there'll be gentleness, there'll be patience. But for the soul who has no relationship with God and claims they're saved and has not been to church in a long time, their attitude is being affected. Their faith is waning. Their obedience has faltered. And everybody that comes in contact with them is suffering as well. There's some people I know right now. I'm not mentioning no names. They're not in the building, I'll say that. Not sure if they're watching on Facebook. There's some people I know right now that used to be faithful to this church, Calvary Baptist Church, since I've been the pastor here, since you've allowed me to. And today, they're not here. It's not because of COVID. They're in every restaurant in town. It's not because of the pandemic. It's not because politics. It's not because any of that. They're riding the streets every day. What is it then? Why aren't they here, and why do they not care about being here that often or any church? It's because they've unplugged to Jesus, from Jesus. They've unplugged from Him. They've unplugged from Him. And somewhere along the way and during the shuffle of all of this craziness in our world, they once was plugged into Christ, and Christ was pumping that grace and mercy and love and gentleness and patience and kindness. But today their families are falling apart. They don't care about going to church. Take it or leave it. You cancel church, Brother Justin. Woo, praise the Lord. I got things to do. They're growing pale on the inside. They're a walking dead man. And they need Christ. They need to be regenerated again, or at least touched by God again. So many people this morning are, and I'm not talking about everybody on Facebook, but I am saying some are on Facebook because they've gotten used to the new way. And they're not here this morning. My name is Justin Hales, and I approve of that message. I said it. I'll sign my name to it. Listen. And I'm not pinning no roses on me because I struggle with getting prepared for this time. I struggle. But if I can't get up here and preach, thus saith the word of God, and have a little bit of boldness and have some fire in my bosom, I don't need to be preaching. Amen. We see that this psalmist here, he had some terrible pinings for God's house. I read a commentator the other day about verse 10. Look at verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Believe it or not, actually I think it was, I don't know, it was a preacher or something. He had said this. I think it was funny. It was funny. There's that phrase, I would rather, in that verse. You see the bumper stickers? I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be shopping. I'd rather be eating. I'd rather be somewhere else than I am right now. He mentioned verse number 10 is another I had rather be. And the writer says, for a day in the courts, in the house of God, is better than 1,000 out there. I had rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a gatekeeper. I'd rather stand in that doorway, at the threshold, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I mean, I don't even have to be all the way in. The writer said, I don't have to be all the way in just to be right there at the threshold. Good morning. Glad you came to church. Glad you came to see us. You got a bulletin? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Come back tonight at 5 o'clock. The writer, he's not even fully in yet. He's saying, just being in that threshold is so much better than what the world has to offer. And if you were to ask some of the people right now who are struggling with alcoholism, drugs, pornography, any of that stuff, they would say this: I did not intend to get this far, but sin has brought me this far. Sin has brought me further than I was willing to go, has made me pay than more than I was willing to pay, and has kept me longer than I've been willing to stay. Sin has a way of doing that. And if you were to get an individual by themselves, one-on-one, and say, listen, don't tell me what I want to hear. Just answer this question. Would you rather continue on in the lifestyle you're in or come back to church? What would they say? Most of them would say, I would rather be back in church. But you see, sin takes that effect in the lives of people. I'm not exempt from it. You're not exempt from it. We have to stay in God's house, connected with Him. When we're outside of God's house. And so verse number 10 mentions this about, I would rather. I got some old friends that I used to hang out with BC, before Christ. And I can remember one individual. I mentioned him several times while preaching. And I want to mention him again because I want to see him get saved so bad. 19 years ago, I got saved. This November will be 20 years. I remember going over to his house like the week after I got saved. And I had a CD from, I think it was Casting Crowns, one of their first CDs. I don't know, it may have been many more after that. I don't know. 19 years ago, they had a CD come out. And there was a particular song on that CD. It was talking about salvation, coming to Jesus. So many good songs they sang, Come to the Well. But on that particular night, I went by his house. He came outside. I brought a CD player. I didn't have a cell phone yet. I didn't get a cell phone until I was 21, young people. I was 21 when I got a cell phone. Yeah, there's Lily right there. I'm 21 years old, baby. 21. And you know what kind of phone it was? It was a Nextel. Come on. Go ahead. And it was company owned. Before I get off the track here chasing this rabbit, I was in his driveway outside. He lives on a hill. I put the CD player on the back of the car, 1993 Buick Century that I had. And I said, his name's Chris. I said, Chris, would you just listen to this song for me? And we sat down on the road, and we listened to Casting Crowns, and we ended up listening to that whole CD. I mean, it talked about salvation. It talked about, I want to see you in heaven. It talked about, why don't you get saved? It talked about all those things. And yet, he did not trust Jesus that night. He cried like a baby. He wanted it. So I stopped the CD and I talked to him about it. And I mean, that was 19 years ago. And like a year ago or 2 years ago, I ran into him at the racetrack in Hiram. I said, have you thought about what I talked to you about those years ago? He goes, yeah, man, that's good stuff for you, but it ain't for me. And the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him this. Chris, let me just ask you a question. How things are going for you right now and what you're involved with, because I know he's involved with some stuff. You really don't want to be in that mess, do you? And if he was honest, he would say no. And I would have to, then I would say, why don't you come to church? And he may reject it. I hope he doesn't. He may reject it. There are people who constantly rejected it, living in their sin and their misery. But he knows on the inside, there has to be something better at church. My best friend got saved and God turned him out of preacher. There has to be a better life. And yet nothing. Days, weeks, months, years roll by. I have a grandfather right now. And I'm careful what I'm about to say. Because he's been more ready to hear the gospel than ever. My grandmother listens sometimes. And so what I'm about to say, I'll tell them as well. But my grandfather, he's getting older. He had to have half his foot amputated recently. He's in a wheelchair. My grandmother's taking care of him. And my uncle has two bad cases of drop feet. Anybody know what a drop foot is? I mean, literally, see, the part that we enjoy like this, walking, they can't. They have to. I'm talking about a man who played A1 football at Osborne High School, run through anybody, had a chance of playing pro baseball. My grandmother is now taking care of both of them. She's retired, drove a school bus 40-plus years. And my grandmother, my grandfather, aunts, uncles, and whole family seen my brother's life and my life change. One day I was going out drinking all night. The next day I was going to church. You tell me what happened. People just don't do that. They've had an experience. They've had an encounter. You get hit by a train, it's going to leave a mark. There's going to be some everlasting change in a person's life. And I remember on my wedding day, me and Christy just checked in over here to that big hotel in Marietta near Marietta Square, getting ready to go to the Smokies the next day. She's getting ready to go with her bear to the Smokies. And I can remember we went up to the room, and then I had to bring my tuxedo down because I had to have it returned. So my grandpa was outside. And so help me, I felt like this was the last time I would have to talk to my grandpa about Jesus. I said, "Paul," I was in the passenger seat, he was in the driver's seat, give him my tuxedo. I said, "Let me ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven?" Great-grandfather worked. The work ethic I have, I allot to my grandparents. He said, "Well, son, I hope I can go one day." I said, "Well, you can know." I said, you got to agree with God that we are all sinners. Do you believe you're a sinner?" "Well, son, I've sinned more than anybody else." I said, "But then we also have to believe that Jesus died upon a cross for us. You believe that?" "Son, I believe it. I do believe it." "Well, you also," and I'm thinking, I'm getting nowhere. And then I said, "You also got to believe that he was buried and rose again for you so that you could walk in newness of life and you can have a new place to live one day, heaven, and that he'll reveal your purpose. You believe all that?" "I believe it all." And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? There's a misfire here. There's a misconnection. I said, "Paul, let me tell you this. All I know is this. I cried out to Jesus to save me and to change my life, and he did. I don't know what it is you're dealing with in your heart, me telling him. But you will be different if you truly, genuinely ask Jesus from the knowledge you have in your head, ask it down into your heart." I said, "He will save you. Take you to heaven when you die, but he'll use you now on earth." He said, "That sounds good, son." And that was it. And so all this time just trying to be a help, trying to mention Jesus. And listen, I'm rambling on now at this particular time, but I do want to say this. It will be better for him here. A life of being with Jesus, being plugged in and reaping the benefits of serving God and being able to claim the promises. He can't claim these promises. My friend Chris can't claim these promises yet. He's not a child of God. He can only claim one promise, and that is Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we have verse number 10. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper." I would rather be in the house of God. Let me mention something else. There's a terrible pining for God's house. And then in verse number 3, we see his type of illustration for God's house. His type of illustration. Look at verse number 3. "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." He mentions a type of illustration for God's house, and I do believe that he's still in that same vein of wanting to go to God's house, wanting to be close to him and God's people, wanting to plug in. So he uses birds as an example in their houses. He's saying, "Lord, the sparrows have found a house. The swallows have a nest for herself and where she may lay her young." And then he says, "Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Different commentators mention different things about that, "even thine altars." Some say the birds made nests on altars and all that. At any rate, the psalmist wants to get to God's house, and he says that bird has a house. And this one has a house, and she's even laying her young in that house and raising a family in that house. Lord, I want to do the same. Lord, I need a church home. Lord, I need to go to God's house. The birds have houses, but I don't have a house. And I'm on this pilgrimage, and I'm passing through the valley of Baca, a place of tears, and I'm trying to get to where you're at. Verse number 7, I'm going from strength to strength, but I need a place. The psalmist's passion for God's house. Let me quickly say this. The sparrow found a house and the swallow a nest and her young, and a place to lay her young. Every Christian must have a church home. A place for you to reap the benefits spiritually of what you need, but not only for you, but if you have kids, you've got to have a house, a church nest where you can lay your kids and raise your kids. So thankful we have raised our child in church. And I'm looking at children and young people who have already been raised in church, and I praise the Lord for it. I thank God for our house parents, our leaders at Calvary's Children's Home. I thank God so much. And the testimonies last Sunday night of our young people was awesome. Christy and I were even talking on the way home about, Brother Brian mentioned, the Byron boys. I mean, listen, Alex, Max, and Will all testified. Max, when I like to call him Max, for some reason it comes to my name, my mind. Max stood up, and I looked at him, and his chin was shaking. His lips were. And then when William stood up, his chin was shaking, his lips were. You know what that is? That's because some children have been brought up in the house of God. Our children's home have taken them in as their parents, as house parents, and have committed to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and much other things, to get a strong work ethic and learn how to work hard and stay with it and not quit. Our children's home, our kids, our young people, you've got a nest here. God is raising you up here, and I thank God for it. I thank God again that my daughter has a nest here. I thank God for the Martins and their kids being brought up here, and then, and of course, the Hancocks and all the other kids, Kristen Bennett, and all the rest. I don't want to miss anybody. But everybody needs a church home and a place to raise their young ones. David says, the sparrow has his church, has his home, little church, has his home. The swallow has his, and they're raising their young over there. He says, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, King, my God. That's what he says here. His type of illustration for God's house. Let me mention one more thing. I have something totally different in my heart for tonight. I have to finish this. Number 4, talking about the psalmist's passion for God's house, we see in verse 4, his truths for God's house. Look what he says in verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Or think about that for a moment. A couple truths here. He says, blessed, happy, content, full of joy. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. This is a truth that some of the most content, or ought to be content, people in this world ought to be, and happy people and blessed people and joyful people ought to be God's people, but God's people that go to church. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Blessed are they who do not get offended and leave when someone says something that they don't like. Blessed are they who put down roots in God's house when they don't go church hopping, but they find out for sure where God wants them. And when they find that out, they lay down some roots. Because the Bible says he that lays down roots in God's house will be blessed. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, that parks it, stays put. Paul even mentioned in another place in the New Testament, he says, none of these things moved me. Oh, mercy. I've got too much here. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. And so there's a blessing of standing in church this morning. There's a blessing. You have not only God's word surrounding you, not only people that will pray for you, but you have people that will support you in your walk. People that will pray for you and people that will be there for you. There's plenty enough to keep you in God's house. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Then he says, they will be still praising thee. He says they will still be praising thee. Why is it that people who go to church regularly keep a perpetual praise? Why is it? Here are just some thoughts I have. Because they have stayed in the truth, unmixed from the world. They know how God works. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows everything. He has all power. He's everywhere at the same time. Those who stay in church begin to realize that God is in control. They are overcomers because of this. And because of this, they have a perpetual praise. They've stayed unmixed from the world. Not to mean they're perfect, but they know where to go. They've heard the truths of God's word. They know who he is. They know how he works. And so therefore, when storms come up, when they're offended by a brethren or a sister, they do not leave the church. They do not sink in despair, but they continue in their church and they continue praising the Lord. Because they're not going to church and you're not going to church for me and I ain't going to church for you. I'm going to church for Jesus. Because without Jesus, I had no desire to come to church where I could get excited to preach for you. And you come to church to get excited to see me, if you are excited to see me. They have perpetual praise. It's not just at Easter and Christmas, but it's 365. They are grateful and thankful people who remain, who dwell in God's house. This morning, that's the message, the psalmist's passion for God's house. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this